37 years in just a few days, amen. And I tell you what, she's put up with a lot. And that's grace, amen. Thank God that's grace, amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14, and I'd like to read a few verses from there. I'd like to take you on a missionary journey from beginning to end. You know, it's important how you start, but it's also important how you continue and how you finish. And let's read from Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through verse 23. And if you're able, I'll ask you to stand as we read from God's word, Acts chapter 14, verses number 8 through verses 23. Which says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, and confirming the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Amen and amen. I'll ask you to be seated. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Now, many of you may not remember the last time I was here, but I do. And here's the reason why I remember. Now, as missionaries, and when you pray for your missionaries, you should pray for their transportation needs, because it is important. And I was planning on coming up here to this church and then go off to another church in Rochester Hills for a conference, and my car broke down. And I tried to get it fixed, but I couldn't. So I had to go into the garage, and they said it'll take a few days before we can get to it. They're really busy. So I had to rent a car. So, being me, when I rented the car, I chose the cheapest car I could find. I always do that. The reason why I do that is because they never have the cheapest car. And so they have to give you an upgrade, because you've booked a car. So I went to the Enterprise to pick up the car on that day, and I went in and they went through their usual spiel, and you know how they, what would you like it? We can give you a good deal and an upgrade for $20 more and this, that, and the other. We'll give you an upgrade. I said, no. Just give me the cheapest car. I'll be fine with that. they lowered their heads. We don't have the cheapest car. I said, what do you have for me? Well, the only car we have is a Camaro. They gave it to me for the same price. Praise the Lord. So we got the Camaro and we were driving up here to Eaton Rapids. And my wife all the time was saying, no, don't go fast, don't go fast. And we were driving up 75 in this Camaro and getting all these looks. And it worked out really well. I only went fast once, I can say. I found a stretch of road and we stopped in the road. It was a flat road. No one was around. So I started at zero and I hit the pedal to the metal all the way up to 65 in about 4.5 seconds. It was glorious. But my wife was going, oh, no. I only did it once. So I came here and everything was fine and I went off to the church in Rochester Hills and we were in a missions conference. And at the end of the conference, I noticed at our car there was a group of young men, probably about 6 or 8 young men who were asking questions about being a missionary. And I often got the quote, well, yeah, I'll be a missionary. This is a missionary's car. I said, it's a rental. My other car is broke. It's not that good. Our other car, you had to park up the hill so you could get it started because it was no good. And I kept saying, it's a rental car. This is not the real missionary life. I'm going there next week. I'm going to ask the question of those young men. How many of them went to become missionaries? In our passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is beginning his missionary career. Amen. It's good to start your career. It's good to start your life. It's good to have some direction. Amen. Seems to me today there's so many people who have no direction. I mean, they're driving. You see them driving. And they go around corners and they stop. And it's almost like, what am I doing again? Maybe you've not met those drivers. And it seems like today there's not that many people, even among Christians, who know what God wants them to do and are following it. But Paul did. And he started off in an amazing way with a great miracle. Thank God for that. We find that in verse number 8. It says, or verse number 7, and they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. The first thing I'd like to note this morning is that God is still able to save souls. Amen. We live in changing times. We live in different times. We live in difficult times. But these times are nothing to God. God didn't wake up this morning and was surprised at the headlines. God didn't say, I'm going to have to go on furlough and go on vacation and wait to get paid before I can do a miracle. No, God's still the same. He's still all-knowing. He's still all-powerful. He's still gracious and merciful. He's still able to save souls, even in this church this morning. If you come with a need, he'll meet that need. Amen. If you come with a need to be saved, he can save you this morning. You can walk out those doors knowing for sure you're going to heaven because he'll answer the cry of faith. Like he did with the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's still the God of miracles. This man was in a desperate situation. He was in a place where he had never walked from birth. It wasn't that some accident had happened that he became ill and couldn't walk. He from birth could not walk. And when Paul came and said to him, would you like to be healed? He leaped up, and God met that need. You know, sometimes I think that when we have needs and we know God wants to work in our life, we hold back and we just don't come forward with that need. I think that doesn't do us very good. Sometimes we have to be forthright, amen. I think of the blind man who sat by the side of the road, and as Jesus went by, he asked, "Who is it?" And they said, "It's Jesus, the Son of David." And he began to cry out. And the people said, "Shh, shh, shh, you're making a scene." And he cried out the more. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Sometimes, you know, we have this saying in Scotland, and I get using all the time, if you don't ask, you don't get. Sometimes if there's a need, we need to just say, if your need this morning is salvation, you could be saved this morning. God did a great miracle in this man's life. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." To the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God can not only save to the uttermost, he can save to the guttermost. I thank God for our ministry, where we go out and we give out food and blankets to the down and outs and the people in Glasgow. But it's amazing that as we do that, people come to hear the gospel. They ask questions like, "Why are you doing this? Why do you care?" And we tell them we care because Jesus cares. Amen. Why are we missionaries? Because Jesus cares for the people of Scotland. Jesus cares for the people of Michigan. Jesus cares for the people of China and India and all these places. Jesus cares, but do we care enough to do something about it? God did a miracle in this man's life. This was a great start for the Apostle Paul. As I said this morning in the Sunday school, when I was first a young missionary, when I went out there, I was ready to charge hell with a war pistol, amen. And I was glad when God used me and people were saved. I'll tell you, just recently, my wife and I were out in Glasgow, and we were doing our homeless outreach ministry. And as we were doing that, giving out gospel tracts and preaching and handing out food and sandwiches and sleeping bags, a man came up, and he was probably about 6 feet five. They're always big. You ever notice that? Like Goliath. And he came up and said, "We killed Jesus. Jesus is dead." Just out of the blue. And I was figuring out, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to say? And my wife, the wee woman back there, got in his face and started quoting Bible verses to him and pointing in his face. And he's like, whoa, yes. And went away sheepishly. But heard the gospel. That's how God can use all of us, amen. God used Paul in this man's life. But then what's the next thing that happened? Not what Paul had planned. Look at verse number 11. There was not only a great miracle, there was a great mass of people who looked for the wrong thing. Verse number 11. "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways.'" A miracle was done, but the people got the wrong idea about the God who wrought the miracle. Have you noticed that during this time, there is a flood of strange and wacky ideas out there? Now, when they saw the miracle, you would think they'd say, the God that did this through Paul is the God who is real and true. Let's seek that God and follow him. But that's not what they did. They said, let's make sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas because the gods are come down from heaven. Why is it that during this time in which we live, these strange times, people will believe in aliens before God? You talk about aliens and spaceships. Oh yes, 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 absolutely. They're true, they're real. But the Bible? Oh, I'm not sure about that. Why is it people will believe a crackpot lie rather than the real truth? Amen. They were ready to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And they ran around and said, wait. We're telling you to turn from these things to the living God. Listen, if you go out and talk to the average person out there about aliens, they'll sit and listen. Aliens, yes. Gray men, yes. Take you away, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Strange lights, yes, absolutely. Let's talk about Jesus. Oh, no, I don't have time. I don't have time. Why is it that people want to believe a lie rather than the truth? Could it be that the Bible talks about in the last days that they'll believe a lie rather than the truth? You see, they've got the wrong answer to what was happening. I told this to our people in Scotland a while ago, and it's true, and they were kind of shocked when I told them this, but it's true. As a young Christian saved many years ago, I did what the average Christian does. I got given a Bible, and I started in the book of Genesis. How many people did that? You get saved, you get a Bible, you start in Genesis, right? You shouldn't really do that. You should start maybe the Gospels and go to the end of the New Testament. Read that a few times and then maybe into the Old Testament. But as a young man, given a Bible, opened it up, start in Genesis. So I started reading in Genesis about God and Abraham and Isaac, how that God liked sacrifices. So in my hometown of Edinburgh, there's an extinct volcano called Arthur's Seat. It's about maybe 1,000 feet off the ground, and you can go up there and visit. And I had this idea as a young Christian, I'm going to get me a lamb and some wood and go up there and sacrifice it. Because I only read Genesis. Seriously, that's what I thought. So I went to my pastor at the time, the American guy who led me to the Lord, and I said, and I was serious, I'd found out the cost of a sheep, I got the wood, I picked out the place, I said, I'm going to go up there because that's what pleases God, right? And he said, no, that was the Old Testament, that was the law, we're under grace, and he explained these things to me. And I'm like, ah, okay, now I understand. But as human beings, sometimes we can be led into the strangest things instead of trusting God. These people were ready to sacrifice, and Paul tells them that God is telling us to turn from these things, even though he shows us graciousness by giving us good and rain and fruitful seasons. We have to be careful we get the right answer to the question that's there. So there was a great miracle. There was a great mass. Paul had given a great message. What was the response of these people after Paul had set them straight? You would think they would appreciate and honor Paul, right? Look at verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, wait a minute. They were just ready to sacrifice to him as a god. Once he told them the truth, they stoned him and thought he was dead. Sometimes when you preach, sometimes people don't like it. But I'm glad they don't drag us out and stone us, amen? I've been preaching for a few years now, and sometimes we've had people come to our church, and you can just tell they're mad. They don't like to hear it. But they usually leave. Sometimes they'll shake my hand and say, I didn't like that. I told this morning about you ladies coming to our church, and after every service, you come up to me and say, you offended me. I don't like it. I said, well, it's the Bible, amen. But the response of these people was one, they wanted to worship Paul. The next minute, they wanted to kill Paul. What strange times. It was a great message. But this message led to misery for the Apostle Paul. Serving the Lord does not mean, despite what people like Joel Osteen says, that you're going to be a millionaire with your own jet plane and your own YouTube channel and book deal. Sometimes when you serve the Lord, it leads to a life of sacrifice and trials and even tragedy. But in the midst of all this, the Bible says that Paul got up and went on. Amen. Sometimes the best thing you can do is to continue. Many years ago, I was in the British Army. And I was in the parachute regiment. I was a paratrooper. And we went through all kinds of military things to get that coveted red beret. And one of the things we went through, it was called parachute selection. And they have this thing, the military do this, where you go through like a week or two of these extreme ordeals of physical exercise and all the rest of it. They do things like you have to carry a 200-pound stretcher for 10 miles up and down hills. And the last event they had was they had a telephone pole. And you had six guys, two in the front, two in the back, and two in the middle, and you would carry this telephone pole up and down hills for 7 miles over a certain amount of time. And this was the last event. Now, if you let go of the telephone pole, you failed. And that was you done. I got through this whole thing, and on the last day, and the last mile of the telephone pole race, I came to the last hill, and as I was going up this hill at breakneck speed, I quit. Unfortunately, the guy next to me quit before me. Now, I had a dilemma. If I let go, the whole log would fall, and the people who were my friends, my compatriots, in the front and middle, they would fail too. So I had to grab the other end of the telegraph pole the other guy had quit on, and grab the whole thing and run up the hill and down the hill with that bouncing off my chin, saying, oh, no, I should have quit first. But God had that in my life to make sure I got through. Paul had to go through this time so that he could get to the next place that God could use him. In our lives, God brings us through some things. Sometimes hurtful things. Sometimes things that, like Paul, you think were done. But God used it. What was Paul's reaction? Not only was he have a great message and go through great misery, but he had a great message about how we should continue in the faith. Look at verse number 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium, that's where they got stoned, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. My message as a missionary to Scotland, as your missionary, is to encourage you to continue. No matter what, no matter how difficult, no matter how the world treats us, no matter how the world looks at us, to keep going. I believe now, and I've said this for years, but I honestly believe it now more than ever, we are closer to the return of the Lord than we have ever been. And I want to finish out my life and my ministry being faithful. Wouldn't it be wonderful to lead someone to the Lord, and after they pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, the rapture happens and we all go? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be fantastic. Can you imagine the faces of all the people after we leave? Where did all the Christians go? Will they even know us? Oh, it was aliens. The spaceships took them. No, we're going, amen. But I want to be faithful. Paul started his missionary career. It all looked so good. But then he had this problem. But he got on top of the problem by following the Lord. And we can do exactly the same. The Bible says it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the most important ability we have. I talked this morning in the Sunday school about the fish that are in the Sea of Galilee. And how the Lord used a couple of sardines. A couple of sardines. I know some of us older people have, but have you ever eaten sardines? I like sardines and toast. They're good. Sometimes they're in a tomato sauce, or sometimes they're in oil, but you get some nice toast and you grill. They're really nice, but they're not a great meal, but they're good. But God used those sardines to reach people. And God can use us to reach people. But we've got to be faithful. We've got to continue. We've got to keep going. We can't get off the log. We can't say, I'm quitting. I'm giving up. I've gone far enough. We have to keep going a little bit longer until we hear the shout, the trumpet of the Lord, and we can get out of this world. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God He's still a God who saves. Thank God He's still a God who uses people like us. I'm glad we were able to see the presentation this morning. I talked about it in the Sunday school, about one of my favorite things in that presentation I see all the time in Blantyre is the statue of David Livingstone being mauled by a lion. You know, sometimes we complain, Lord, being mauled by a lion twice. And he went back to Africa. He died there. What's stopping us from continuing? Ourselves? Our sins? Our society? We ought to just keep going for God because He is worthy of our sacrifice, amen. He is worthy of whatever it takes for us to follow Him in these times. So thank God for Paul. Thank God for his testimony. But we need to continue in the grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for these great examples of what you've done in the life of Paul and others. Help us, Lord, to be like them, to be faithful, to continue in the grace of God. Bless this time of invitation, Lord. Use it for your glory and honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. Let's consider as God has spoken to us this morning through His word, through His messenger, Lord. We're asking your help today. Would you speak to us right now with the Holy Spirit? Heavenly Father, we ask it right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you some questions this morning. Are you a missionary or are you a mission field? The mission field doesn't know Jesus. The mission field is seeking something else. They're looking to false gods. They're looking to bizarre things. Are you a mission field today? Do you know Jesus can change that for you? Jesus Christ can make the change. You must put your faith in Him. Or are you a missionary? God's called us all to, who know Christ as Savior, God's called us to be a witness for Him, a missionary, whether it be in a foreign land or just across the street or maybe in our own home. And yet God wants to use us. And perhaps because we haven't seen much happen, we've decided we're not going to do that. Is it time to come back to God and ask Him to help you? Help us. Continue on. The faith is still good. The God is still good. The salvation is still good. But we need to grow and we need to continue. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me if you're able? If you're able this morning, let us stand. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the organ to play the song. We'll sing softly. When she begins to play that, would you make a decision for God today? Would you ask His help? If you're a mission field, I'll be down on the front. I'll have my Bible. I'd love to tell you how Jesus can save you today. There's no 12-step program. It doesn't have to take weeks. It can happen right here, right now. Christian friend, getting on par where God would have us to be, that doesn't have to take weeks either. You know, God's been waiting for us to come to Him, to get back into fellowship with Him, to get back into service. Maybe God right now is just telling you, why don't you come, make a step of faith and ask him to help you continue on. As she begins to play that song we're going to sing, would you respond to God's word this morning?